Welcome to Bold Talk Radio. I am your host, Pat Williams. Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to our podcast episode today, January 3rd, 2019. So we're getting into the groove of this new year, right? We're finally 3 days in, so that's always a good thing. As you guys can tell, I sound much better. And I got to tell you guys, I feel much better. I'm starting to feel like myself and sound like myself. So that's really good. All right, guys, let's just go ahead and get right on into it, man. This is crazy. Right. Man, I mean, 2019 is already starting out, like, you know, with humdingers. Let's get into our topic today. I don't even want to dilly-dally around with any, you know, as I like to say, housekeeping rules. Let's not even get into any housekeeping. Let's just get right on down to, you know, pulling back the rug and getting the trash out. Okay. Today's episode, we are going to look at the Christian church. Now, I didn't say the Christian religion. I said the Christian church. And the topic for today is, what has happened to the Christian church? That's the topic. Just before Christmas, there's this kind of funny video that has gone viral. And it's really not funny. It's kind of sad, but it will make you chuckle if you see it. There's this cute black kid. I don't know, little boy looks like he may be anywhere between, I would say maybe about, I don't know, maybe about 6 to maybe 8, 9 years old, maybe at the very latest. And so this is a small little cute little black boy. And he's obviously at his family's church, and they pass him the microphone. And you know how, you know, like when I was a kid, they gave you the microphone, you'd say, "Hallelujah, Jesus rose on Easter Day." I mean, you'd say something real cute and the audience would love it. And they'd be like, "Yay, you know, hallelujah." Okay. So this little dude, he gets the mic and he says, they're like, "Okay, come on, baby, speak. And this little guy gets the mic and he's like, "I'm tired of this church." I mean, like a G. I mean, just like a real gangster, like a grown, overgrown, super grown adult man. He get the mic. I mean, he has this little scoured look on his face and he's like, "I'm tired of this church." And people are like, oh, you hear some people gasping. And I think you even hear one person say the D word, go, "Oh," you know, they can't believe that he said it. And some of the people are trying to still encourage him, like, "Oh, okay, baby," you know, and then the video kind of cuts off. And so that little boy actually kind of has my sentiment right now. I'm never sick of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of you guys may know, you've been listening to me. You know, I've, you know, professed and confessed my Christian faith. But I have to say, man, something really like rotten egg, dude, is going on in the church. Listen, y'all, I'm from the old school, man. I'm 45 years old. I'm from that time, okay, when you were getting real fire and brimstone messages. Let me tell you guys something what happened. One of the most profound memories that I have as a child. Well, I've got several of them in terms of being in church, but in addition to being baptized, I was baptized around seven, 8 years old. I think I was about 7 when I got baptized, to be exact. But I do recall when I was maybe about 8 or 9, maybe even 10. I was somewhere between 8 and 10 on this one incident. And like, my mom was very active in the church. You know, had us in vacation Bible school, which was like the bomb. It takes to be in vacation Bible school to realize vacation Bible school is the ish. I love it. I don't even know if they still do it, but if they don't, they should. Okay, so vacation Bible school was awesome. But there would be times that from time to time, you know, my mom had friends who obviously attend other churches, whatever. So one of her friends, who was one of the neighbors in our neighborhood, they were having some type of movie night, okay, at their church. But the movie night isn't how the movie nights are now in these churches now, in these Christian churches. Most of these churches now are showing you Frozen and Shrek and, you know, or the Bird Box, right? You know what I'm saying? But back then, they were showing you like straight up real for real Christian films. And the one thing that I have to say this, that I kind of always kind of cringed. I don't want to say despise. I mean, some of you guys may know I'm a filmmaker. I dabble in it myself. But I used to, and even now, I always kind of cringe at Christian films that, you know, are so pristine and so, you know, everybody's just, you know, pearly whites are showing and hi, we're the perfect little Christian family and everything is perfect, perfect, perfect. You know, and if you read the Bible, I mean, man, just read the Word of God. Man, we're seeing all kind of people that God used. And man, very few of these people were perfect, perfect, perfect. The only perfect one is Jesus Christ himself. Everybody from David to Paul to Peter to John to Ruth, you know, to Esther. I mean, you know, it goes on and on to Zipporah. You know, you go through these Hall of Fame listers of people, Noah and, you know, Moses. I mean, you start looking at these people. Did I say David already? David, you know what I mean? Come on. You're looking at these people. You go, man, these people, all of them were like tripped out. Rahab. Come on, man. Rahab was, okay, what the kids would call her now. She was like a thought. She was exactly T-O-H-T. She was the thought, okay? But God wanted to show you the woman at the well. God wanted to show us that he loves people, man. He came to save the thoughts. And for some of you who don't know what thought means, I ask you to look up the Urban Dictionary of Google. I won't say what that means here. But it's nothing too vulgar. So I better tell you guys so you guys won't think it's something extra vulgar. But thought means that hole over there. Okay, it's a very urban-esque kind of term. Started in the inner cities and now it's kind of have a more of a general understanding beyond just the inner cities of America. So it's definitely made the urban lexicon thought, okay? But basically it means a loose or a whorish woman, okay? So we see that in the Bible. And that's the thing that made me always kind of cringe about Christian movies. It's like everyone is perfect. Even the sinners are perfect. They're like, well, you know, I did steal a cupcake, you know, from the store. Oh, well, my dear, don't steal cupcakes. The Lord said, thou shalt not steal. Come on, let's pray about it. You know, and that's well and good. But I feel like, you know, we're going to bring the gospel, man. Jesus never pulled no punches with the gospel, man, because he knew it's too for real. It's too serious, right? Souls. This is about souls, man. Souls is on the line. If you are a Christian and if you believe the Christian faith and the gospel of Jesus Christ, the King, if you believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you can't get to cherry pick the little parts you want to pick and the little parts you don't want to pick. You got to eat the whole roll. Listen. If you really believe it, then you have to understand, you have to know, man, that's serious business. It really is. I mean, you're dealing with some very deep, deep, deep spiritual principles. And so even though I digressed about the Christian films, back to this incident when I was a kid. So these were kind of mostly the kind of films we'd see. But one particular night, my mom's friend, who was, you know, one of our neighbors at the time, you know, they picked us up and she said, hey, you know, told my mom, hey, you know, we've got movie night. You want the kids to come? So I was like, okay, yeah, cool. Take the kids. And we went to movie night at my mom's friend's church. And I'm going to tell you guys, that film made an impression on me that would not quit, because unlike the soft soap and syrupy sugar pie, you know, honey bunch, you know, sunshiny kind of films, man, this film was like, I'm in your face. I'm punching you dead in your breadbasket. Bow. I mean, and it was showing people like, man, who were just doing all types of hideous stuff. Now, because this was a church and it was a film, I mean, they weren't being illicit with the visuals. They weren't showing you naked bodies or full on sex acts, you know, like Hollywood crazy movies show you, but they were definitely giving you, alluding to like, oh my God, this person is, oh, you know, whoa. And it would show you, man, like this person getting in a car accident and they died and boom, they went to hell. Or this person, you know, man, they ate something and they start choking on the chicken bone and boom, they went to hell. That movie like made an impression upon me as a kid. Because that movie was preaching fire and brimstone. Now, some of you guys were, oh, that's cruel to show a kid that. No, that was the best thing you could have showed a kid. Because it made me really, even as a child, grapple with the idea that, you know what, life has consequences. And not only just this life, but eternal life. Yeah, I caught that concept as a little girl. And, you know, even though I certainly don't have or live a perfect life, good Lord knows, but yet and still, it made me aware that this is not playtime. It made me aware that the Bible and Christian faith and Christianity and servitude to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, it made me realize like, man, this ain't no play stuff here. So either I'm gonna rock with it or I'm not gonna rock with it. But in either case, this is not... Okay, this stuff is kind of serious. And it left me with that real authentic impression. And I think that is exactly what has happened wrong with the Christian church now. There is no, everything is fun, fun, fun. You know, it's like the old Beach Boys song, and we'll have fun, 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 till Daddy takes the T-Bird away. You know, we're waiting for Daddy to take the T-Bird away because we're going to have fun, fun, fun up until that point. And it's like, yo, man, what's going on with the Christian church? Now, I attended a predominantly black congregation, but I mean, I visited, even as I got older, I visited all types of, you know, congregations, some that were more multicultural, some that were more predominantly white congregants. But even back in the day, and I'm even going back like 20 years ago when I was in my early 20s, the churches didn't play. I don't care if you were in more of a multicultural dynamic, a predominantly black dynamic or predominantly white dynamic. It was like when you stepped up off in the church, man, you knew like, okay, man, I'm stepping up off into something holy. I'm stepping up off in something for real. I'm stepping off something that's so deep, man. I don't even want to step up off in it because I know I'm bogus right now. And that's what I remember being a kid too. I remember my grandma and other women, you know, I remember my grandmother talking to other women and you know, that were members of her church. And I remember how a lot of times, you know, I would hear my grandmother on the phone being a nosy little kid, right? I'm listening to my grandma. But she would be, you know, back then, you know, you had the old school phones that you had the rotary dial. You'd have to kind of put your finger to hold it. A lot of you kids won't even never know what that's about. And I would see my grandmother sitting at the kitchen table and she'd have her little coffee and her little banana and her little toast. Bless her heart, and her little egg and stuff like that, and her little sausage, she eating her breakfast. And she'd be on the phone, like with a lot of the sisters at her church, you know, or one of her friends or whatever. And from time to time, I would hear my grandmother saying, oh, well, we got to pray for brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so because, you know, they must have backslid. They must have fell off. You know, we got to pray for them. You know, we got to, you know, see about them because they haven't been back in church. And that's how you kind of knew back then. I'm going to adjust this microphone a little bit, guys. That's how you kind of knew back then, or kind of had a suspicion if someone had quote unquote backslid. Now, of course, they would check on a person to make sure that the person, you know, was not dead or, you know, sick somewhere, you know, as they say, homebound. But if the person wasn't otherwise, you know, medically, in some type of medical situation, or, you know, obviously if you're deceased, you're dead and gone. But if it wasn't anything like that, then the church would be like, okay, well, why haven't you, you know, we're calling you, you know, we're the benevolent board or, you know, we're here to just check on you, you know, why? And a lot of times, man, people would be telling them people like, you know what, I'm sorry, man, right now church ain't for me. You know, I still love the Lord, but I got to step back. I got to chill it. I got to cool it. I got to really reevaluate myself and my life and what I really want to do right now. And the beautiful thing is that the church never, from what I recall, my grandmother's church, because at one point we were attending my grandmother's church before my father and mother started attending another church as well on their own. But I remember how, you know,
back then, people had such a sincere and such a for real respect for church, man, that even if they knew that they weren't quite right or they weren't quite lining up in their personal life, they would back away. They'd be like, nah, I gotta cool it. I just gotta see where I'm at. And I never recall the church saying, okay, well, we're gonna browbeat you. They'd be like, well, hey, we're here. We're here with an outstretched hand. We'll be praying for your brother. We'll be praying for your sister. You know, we'll keep you lifted up and we'll keep you in our prayers. Okay. God bless you. We're here. Anytime you need a friend, we're here. And that's how it used to be. But the reason why it used to be like that, guys, is because people understood that when they went into church, man, that was something that you were touching upon a holy thing. And now I look at the Christian church and I'm like, yo, man, like, okay, this guy, and some of you guys know this guy, he's a comedian. And I'll say his name. I mean, I don't have a problem with saying his name because I don't have anything ill to say about this brother, but his name is Kev on Stage. So he recently was just talking about some church recently, and I'm talking about within the last couple of days going into the holidays when we're just now in the new year, and how, okay, any of you guys know right now Snoop Dogg has a song out, and forgive me, I can't think of the other artist's name, okay, because it's kind of like a Snoop Dogg and this other recording artist on it. But the song is called Living My Best Life, right? And the guy, some of you guys have heard the song, the guy's like, I'm living my best life, I ain't going back and forth. And he says, you know, the N-word. And he says, I'm living my best life. And then there's one part in the song where he says, smile. And he uses the B-word, which rhymes with stitch and itch. And so the song, even though it's secular, even though it's worldly, I mean, it's got a real strong, I would say, very positive and in a weird way, kind of an uplifting message in the song. You know, it's telling people, hey, like there's one part in the song where Snoop says, hey, listen, if you're breathing, you're achieving. And so what it's telling people is like, hey, you know what? Be grateful. Really, there's so many ways. Be grateful for where you're at, for what you have. You know, and you're living your best life. Even if you think it suck right now, man, you still living your best life. So, again, the song has this type of deep, you know, meaning of really positivity. But it has, you know, but they're presenting it in a very, you know, secular manner, which the song is a secular song. So, you know, we're not surprised of that. However, what I am surprised of and what Kev on Stage brought out was that, you know, they showed this pastor, and I think his name is Pastor Bryant, Jamal Bryant, that guy there, man. Anyway, so this guy has got someone in his church singing that song, and then of course they switched the lyrics up to say, you know, they're like, I'm living my best life, but instead of saying, I'm not going back and forth with you, using the N-word, he says, I'm not going back and forth with you sinners, I'm living my best life. We ain't going back and forth with you sinners. And then the other part, he said, well, smile, church. No, smile, saints. Smile, saints. And I'm just like, and I was looking at some of the comments. And there was one commenter who said, used the expletive and said, you know what? We can't have another expletive starts with, I'll put it this way, sugar, honey, iced tea. She's, you know, this person, and it looks like appears to be a woman, was like, we can't have sugar, honey, iced tea in the world for nothing without the church stealing our stuff. And what was so crazy about it is a lot of the people obviously may have been church people. They're like, yep, that's right. We go steal it. Ha, 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 ha. Yep. And I'm thinking, wow, how sad. How sad. Here's somebody who's an unbeliever in 2019, a secular person, but who understands that the church is culturally appropriating, hijacking the things we're doing in the world. And instead of the church getting a revelation and saying, you know what, we ought not be being affected by the world, we need to be affecting them with Christ. It's actually happening in reverse. Another thing that I severely take issue with, and I think about this, guys, I think about this. Listen, something that really troubles me. I noticed that a lot of, now you've got a lot of these so-called black, and I shouldn't say they were just black. I mean, you've got white ones too. But I'm thinking about some of the black comedians, quote unquote, Christian comedians. But you have some that are called, you know, Christian comedians. They're white or black. So you really, it's not, hey, you're a black Christian comedian. They're Christian comedians. But I'm thinking about some of the ones that I'm more familiar with are some of the black ones. But I have heard some Christian comedians who are Caucasian, who are white. And the one thing that I notice in particular is, why is it? Now, the Bible says laughter doeth good as a medicine. It does. I mean, guys, I was feeling not so great the other day because, you guys know, I've been kind of working on my vocals and things like that. And so, you know, over the holiday season one of my brothers had showed me this. Oh, my God, this viral video that had went viral. And it was so insane. I mean, it just made me laugh. That after I got through laughing, I literally felt better. And I said, man, that really. And I told him, I said, man, the Bible is so right. You know, laughter doeth good as a medicine. And so it made me just start feeling really good in my body just to have this uproarious laugh about this viral video that he had showed me over the holidays. But the thing is that, so I get we need to laugh. I get that, no, God didn't create people who serve him to just be like, oh, you know, we can't laugh, we can't smile, we can't, you know, of course the Lord didn't, you know, we get that. But there are times, like the Bible said, there's a time, there's a season for everything under the sun. And there is that part that said there's a time to laugh and there's a time to cry. But that's the thing. There's a time to laugh. And one of the things that I notice about the Christian church of today, of this modern era, of the Laodicean church, you guys get over into Revelation. Those of you who believe, those of you who have a Bible, check that out. See what the Lord is saying about the Laodicean church. Check it out, what he's saying about that church. And the thing is, I really feel that we are in that church age of Laodicea. You know, it's completely just completely worldly. I mean, listen, you've got comedians doing stand-up in the sanctuaries. Now, listen, guys, look, if a pastor wants to sponsor, you know, for the kids, or a roller skate night, or a movie night, or a Christian comedy night, I'm not saying that a pastor, or bowling night, I'm not saying that a pastor can't sponsor that. But a pastor should sponsor that, maybe in another facility or maybe in another part of the building itself. But when it comes into the sanctuary, think about what that term means. Sanctuary. That comes from the word sanctified. To be sanctified. Man, that means holiness. That means separate. That means set apart. That means reverence. That means holiness. So we shouldn't have Christian comedians in there cracking jokes in the sanctuary. Man, when you step in, that's like you're supposed to be stepping in on the holies of holies. That means you're supposed to be stepping on sacred ground. You know, when God told Moses, take your unlatch your sandals, take your sandals off. And we now feel that anything can go. And what troubles me, and I have to say this, by some of the black comedians, not all, but some of the black quote-unquote Christian comedians, what troubles me about many of them, they actually make a laughter. There's a site called the Church of Laugh. Okay, there's a page called the Church of Laugh. And a lot of times they're making laughter and comedy and jokes out of people's worship, you know, and it's like, how can you do that? I mean, I would even say Kev on stage has even done a little bit of that. He's not, I would say he's certainly not the worst of the worst of that. I've seen much worse. But what I always think about is, okay, show me a Muslim, an Islamic comedian who's doing his comedy at the mosque. Show me a Hindi comedian who's doing his comedy at the temple. Show me a Jewish comedian who's doing his comedy at the synagogue. Show me a Buddhist comedian who's doing his or her comedy at the temple. This is the problem with Christianity. Are there Muslim Islamic comedians? Yeah. Are there comedians who are Hindi? Yeah. Are there comedians that are Buddhist? Yeah. Are there comedians that are Jewish? Yeah. Yeah. There's a comedian who have, you could probably find every stripe of comedian who have any one of those religious beliefs. But the difference is, you're not going to find an Islamic, a Muslim comedian who would have the gall and the audacity to perform his comedy inside the halls of his mosque. And he certainly is not going to look at whatever praise and worship that's going on at his mosque and find humor and comedy in that. Come on, y'all got to hear what I'm saying, man. You're not going to find a Buddhist comedian who's going to make a joke, whatever worship, whatever's happening in his or her setting of worship at that temple, at that synagogue, at that mosque. They're not going to A, say, hey, y'all, isn't this funny? Look at this person. They're not going to do that. And then the other part of it, which is even the greater part, you're not going to find them doing stand up at the mosque, at the temple, at the synagogue. They're not going to do it. You know why? Because they have an innate respect and understanding that these things are holy. These things are untouchable. Listen, I got a friend of mine here in Chicago. And she told me one of the best stories ever. And this was a true story. Yeah, I shouldn't say it was a story. It's just an account. She told me an account. Now, she herself is a Christian woman. And she's a Black Christian woman. And she was telling me how she had a friend who was East Indian. And she was of the Hindi faith. And her friend invited her over for dinner to hang out, you know, chill out, have some dinner and, you know, just kind of hang out. Friend to friend. And she says that when she went to her friend's house, who was East Indian, who was she was a Hindi. And so she says that she just happened to kind of sit down. And she said that, you know, the woman had a statue of an image that was sitting on the table. She said, and I just happened to touch it. This is what my friend said. She said, I just happened to touch it to kind of pick it up and admire, you know, the carvings in it and the way it was artistically, you know, crafted. And she says, when I picked it up just to kind of look on it and kind of get a better feel of it, she said, my friend said, oh, no. Please, put that down. So she said, girl, it scared me. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to touch anything. You know, she said, no, you don't understand. I don't mind you touching anything in my house. But you, that there is my God. You have to be cautious. You can't touch that. You know, there's no offense to you. But that's my God. That's my Lord. So be very, you know, no offense, girl. We're here to have fun. But and I know you didn't know. But that's very sacred to me. My friend said she was like, whoa, okay. What does they say to Cardi B? Do okay, right? Okay, right? Let me tell you guys what's so amazing about that. I love my friend's story about that, her account of that. Because what was this woman saying? You couldn't just handle her faith, her deity, her Lord, her God, her sovereignty. With any kind of way. That's because that's birthed out of respect. That's birthed out of honor. And really, guys, that's birthed out of love. And what I see that's missing now from the Christian, modern Christian church, there is no holy reverence. It's like God is a plaything. Do you guys remember about 15 years ago in the early 2000s, they used to have these t-shirts and some of the celebrities were wearing them. I think like Ashton Kutcher kind of made this t-shirt go popular. But a few other Hollywood stars, you know, hey, Jesus is my homeboy. And a lot of people in the church have taken on that mentality. They have taken on that spirit, on that persona. Jesus is my homeboy. That's my dog. What? Is you crazy? That's your Lord, man. That's your Savior. That's your King. That's your Holy One. Man, so what I'm trying to find out, what has happened to the Christian church? Where, man, y'all feel y'all can bring in just stuff up off the street? Y'all can look any kind of way? Y'all can say any kind of say? Y'all can do anything you want to do? There's no holy reverence. Everything is a joke. Everything is the potty. Hey. And I'm like, man, what's wrong with the church of today? It's the church of Laodicea. You guys have got to read that. Please look that up. Because that's the church age I clearly see that people are in now. They have no respect. And this is one reason why church. See, let me tell you something. Where the lie, where Satan have crept in. A deception on Christian believers. See, the thought with Christianity is, well, see, if we kind of make ourselves, you know, more like the world, you know, and appeal to what they're doing, see, that way we can draw them to Christ. But that's not so. That's not so at all. Do you know why people, do you guys know that Islam right now is the fastest growing religion right now in the world? It's starting in many countries to surpass Christianity. Do you guys know that Buddhism and the Baha'i faith and Hinduism, do you know why a lot of these religions, Eastern religions and these other religions are starting to catch hold? Because guess what you have to admire? Guess what you have to really admire about the Buddhist and the Hindi and the Muslim? Guess what you have to really admire about those people? They this is their position. And they don't try to waver off of it. And whether people know, whether the Christian church know it or not, that's what's going to attract the world. The world is like that little boy. I'm tired of this church. The world looks at the church and says, man, y'all suck. If you guys ever talk to a straight up real, for real, for real unbeliever, they'll tell you to your face, like, man, we like Jesus. We can't stand y'all. And some of them will say, well, it's because you guys are being judgmental. But that's somewhat of a ruse. But the one real reason why, because, man, they don't see no difference. I'm looking at most of these pastors now. Man, and look, don't get me wrong. I love wearing my Nikes and Adidas. I love my tracksuits. I love my leggings. I love all that. I love my hoodies and my caps. I do. I like that stuff. I like wearing my jeans and having that fashion flair. I get it. But when you step up off into the house of the Lord, shouldn't that be a day that you say, I'm going to bring myself different? Look at the Muslims. Look, listen, I don't know if you got, look, I know people who are Muslim, who are of the Islamic faith. And man, they dress just as fly, just as, you know, westernized, just as Americanized as the next person, wearing the same stuff. But when they go to mosque, they put on their clothes, man. They put on their clothes that's ready for worship, for honor and worship. They put on the clothes that's going to be honored. Their women have on their the hijab. The women, they have that covering over themselves. The men even put on different clothes. You know, you guys have really got to get a revelation, man. I'm sitting up here. I'm seeing church pastors. I mean, these boys looking like rappers, man. They looking like Jacquees and who's some of the top rappers right now? I don't know. I mean, they looking like Quavo. What is that? The Migos. I mean, they're looking like Kodak Black. You know, now listen, guys, I'm not here to judge y'all for the ones of y'all who got tattoos. We can talk about tattoos and we will in another episode. If you got them, you got them. You know, will you go to hell for tattoos? I don't think that you will. You know, because many of us who have tattoos, I don't have any, but many I know who have gotten them, they got them out of their ignorance. They got it even before they became, it came into salvation. So once it's on your body, man, it's on your body, especially if you're a black person, because then you really got to think about, you know, avoiding keloids, and some black skin gets keloids, some black skin doesn't. But because of the amount of maybe melanin or things like that, skin texture, skin tone, those things can affect very severe scarring on black tissue, on African, well, I hate that term, on black people's bodies. So I get it, man. If you got it, you got it. And the Lord understands that. He's merciful with that. Some of you guys are getting it once you're already in the faith because you're trying to look cool and you're trying to be up. Hey, That's between you and the Lord. But what I will say, but I know what the word says about putting markings on the body. So we're not going to waver off that. Now you grown, you're going to do what you're going to do. But let's not kid ourselves about what the word says. See, to me, if you go and do something while you're already in the knowledge of a thing, that's a whole other story versus when you were, as the Bible says, aforetimes when we were ignorant. Okay? But let me not digress on that. The reason why I bring that up is because, man, I'm looking at some of these young pastors. Some of them are black, some of them are white, some of them are Latino, some of them are male, some of them female. And man, I mean, they're looking like the flyest rock stars. They dress better than Justin Bieber and Justin Timberlake. They looking better than Bodak Yellow. You know, they looking better than Cardi B. Okay? So this is the stuff that I am looking at. And because we feel, well, that's the way we're going to attract, but you're not. What you guys are doing is you guys are not attracting the world. Because when the world see y'all, they be like, man, these people suck. They won't let us do, like this person, they won't let us have nothing ourselves. Man, we forget these people in church. They're hypocrites. They're liars. See, the Bible talks about how the world is waiting with a sincere expectation. Whew, y'all, I'm no pastor. I'm no minister of the gospel. I'm really not. But I do know what I've read and what I've seen in the word. And I do know that there's a scripture that says that the world, that the creation, that they're waiting with a sincere expectation for the sons of God, for the people of God to rise up and to fulfill their calling. See, because what we have bought into as a church, as a modern Christian church, those of us who are part of it, we've brought into the lie and the deception that, see, the world is waiting on us to be cool and get the tattoos and pop my collar, man, pop my collar, man. We gonna look good, man. Girl, we twerking for Jesus. We think that they're waiting on that. Or, hey, man, we're going to rock out for Jesus, dude. Rock on, man. Freaking A. Rock. Jesus rocks. You know what I'm saying? Or let's do bachata for Jesus and Señor. Hey, gloria a Dios. I mean, we think that they're waiting on us to look like Mark Anthony, Beyonce, P. Diddy. And they're waiting on us to be like, no, we're waiting on you to be different. We're waiting on you to present the gospel in spirit and in truth. Now, are we going to like it as the world? No, we're not. And that's what has a lot of the church body shook. Because when we take positions and stance and take a holy stance on the issues that affect the world, issues like abortion, when we take a holy stance in a holy position, a religious, the godly position to say, no, we can't back abortion or gay marriage. No, we love everybody. But I got to go with what the Lord say about marriage. And I don't mean I hate you. If you're two guys and y'all married up, or you're two women, you're married up, I don't hate you. I mean, I love you. But when the question come to me, I gotta go with what my God say. And that don't mean I'm going to try to hurt you. That don't mean I'm going to try to stop your rights. That doesn't mean that I'm going to try to attack you. Matter of fact, hey, you're welcome. You're welcome to have a seat at my table. You're welcome to break bread with me. And I'd love to break bread with you. I'd love to embrace you and put my arms around you. See, that's what Jesus was showing. Jesus didn't adopt the way of the world, but he knew I have to go among them. Now, the Bible do say come out from among them, but he was talking about come out from among them in terms of their doings. That's why he says, go ye into all the world. So somebody say, isn't the Lord in the Bible contradicting himself? No. When he's talking about come out from among them, he's talking about come out from among them in terms of your doings. You don't take on the ways of the world, but you've got to go into the world to meet the people and to be that city of light on a hill. You've got to be. Let your light so shine. You ain't got to jaw jack and run your mouth about it. Just be different. And that's what they're really waiting on. See, the thing is, the church doesn't want to deal with what it didn't mind dealing with before. See, the church didn't mind having the, what's the word I'm looking for? The church back in the day did not, the Christian church back in the day didn't mind being ostracized by the world for holding distinctive beliefs. Look, let's just call a spade a spade. The Muslims don't believe in gay marriage. But you never see really the world going after them for not believing in gay marriage. You want to know why? Because the world understand. They say, well, man, them people, they different. We get it, man. They different. They going to pray different. They going to get on their prayer rug. They going to face east. They carry themselves different. So who am I to knock it, man? That's just how they flow. That's just how they rock. Hey, if I want to get into that religion, then maybe I will. If not, they over there, they cool. They not trying to mess with me. I'm not going to mess with them. And they just let it be. But the reason why they come so hardcore against the Christian church, the Christian believer, because they sing what we're doing. They say, wait a minute. On one level, y'all telling us not to be gay, not to have gay marriage, not to go and abort my baby, not to fornicate. But then y'all doing it. And if you're not doing it, you're certainly giving me the air and the appearance that you're doing it. See, nobody likes anybody to straddle the fence. You know, speaking about the book of Revelation, Jesus talks about how when a person is on the fence, he talks about the person who's lukewarm. He even goes on to say, I wish that you were either hot or cold. Now, that's a real deep thing. That's a real deep thing. The Lord is saying he would rather that somebody be totally against him, totally go do their thing, man, than to be this person. You don't know if they're fish or fowl. I don't know what I don't. You're not showing me the difference. You're not showing me the holiness. See, we have also brought into the deception in the Christian church that holiness is shouting and dancing and speaking in tongues. Hiya boshata. Yeah, okay. That's speaking in tongues. That's a holy language. But it's also because you have two types of tongues. Now you've got the tongues where, hey, it cannot be interpreted. That's the tongue that's holy. That I'm saying that it's not the tongues of men. It's your holy language. You do that to build yourself up. But then there's another tongue where it's just the tongues of men. And we see that on Pentecost. And then there ought to be an interpreter. If you bust that move in public, there ought to be an interpreter. The Bible tells us there ought to be somebody there who can say, okay, yeah, you just spoke in Japanese. Well, even if they don't know you spoke in Japanese, they ought to be able to say, hey, this is what you just said. You just interpret it, da-da-da-da-da-da. And this is what you just said for the edification of the body of Christ. But we think that holiness is just that holiness is just, girl, I'm getting my shout on, can I dance? Hey, I love that, man. I love that stuff, and it's okay. David danced before the Lord in all his might. Tongues, Paul said, guess what, it's the least of the gifts, but nonetheless seek the gifts. So I'm not that type of person who's anti-tongues. I'm not that person who's anti dancing in church. I'm not that person who's anti-prophetic anointing. I believe in all that. I believe in all of it. But at the same time, I also know that it's not just relegated and limited to those things. There's too much foolishness going on right now in the Christian church. And it's crazy because the children, like this little black child, this little boy, he discerned it. He said, I'm tired of this church. Now, why was he saying he's tired of this church? Who knows? I mean, he could be tired because he was ready to go home and, you know, play some video games or just ready to go home and get some McDonald's. I don't know why that little boy was tired. Go home, play with his friends, or just sleep. You can't know why he was saying he was tired of this church. But sometimes children have an uncanny way of discerning. The Bible says a child shall lead them. Children have an uncanny way of being able to put their finger on something when something is not right or when something is right. And that's why I went back to my own life. When I was about an 8 to 10 year old, I knew being in that church on that movie night, watching that movie, it left me with the impression, okay, whatever this Christianity thing is, whatever this Bible thing is, whatever this church thing is, whatever this religion is, whatever it is, right? I'm thinking about that song by the Hawkins. Whatever it is, right? Whatever it is, man, this thing is serious business. And so it left that deep, indelible mark on my consciousness as a kid. But now we're no longer doing that, man. Anytime you got churches where they're doing, you're giving, I'm living my best life. I mean, look, I like the song, and I'm not telling a Christian, a child of God, not to like the song. But where do we draw the line and say, that's a fun song, it's a cool song? It's sort of like, don't worry, be happy. It's like the 2018, 2019 version of that. am I saying? You're like, am I saying that you can't like that song? Fine, if you want to like the song, I like the song. But where do we draw the line? That line has to be drawn when I step up into the house of the Lord. I'm not going to bring, I'm living my best life up in there. No, because when I'm step up in the house of the Lord, I need to be trying to hear from the Lord. I need to be trying to enter into a consecrated place of repentance, of worship, of honor, of servitude, of sanctity. I need to be unlatching my sandals, man, when I hit that door. And too many of these pastors, they're so hungry on trying to stay hip and cool and relevant. But what you're doing is you're making yourself more vile. And you're making yourself more reviled. And you're making yourself more repugnant to the world. Because the world is looking on it like that one comment and saying, man, we can't even keep sugar, honey, iced tea of our stuff, and hit the church biting our moves. So what was this person crying out like, man, church, can you just go back to being holy? Man, pastors, see, because we figure, well, if we preach fire and brimstone, nobody's going to come. But this is where that's not true. People were coming that were more sincere and ready to turn it over to the Lord. No, you may not have had mega churches. I think the first true person who had the mega churches was maybe the late Billy Graham. But he was then doing, you know, camp meetings and tent meetings and things of that sort. You know, but the thing is that, you know, the right people were coming. The people that said, you know what? I've had enough of that life. I've had enough of my own thing. I'm going to give this Jesus a try. I'm going to give his word a try. I'm going to give this thing a try. Because why? It was showing a difference. It was showing a distinction. And this is why now the churches are just brimming over with a bunch of saints who are all getting super worldly up in there. They're twerking. I mean, I saw one idiot, and I do mean idiot. I saw one idiot. This video went viral the other day. Some idiot keyboardist, he's playing the Jeopardy song. You know, like during like the worship part, and you know how sometimes they let the keyboardist kind of have that intro or that type of solo part. And this clown starts playing do 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 boom boom. How dare you, you clown? I would tell you to your mom's face, to your mama's face, and I really could get low down with it. I tell you to your mammy's face. Lord rebuke you for that, sir. I mean, and the thing is, he's looking in the camera like, man, he ought to be trembling. The Bible said, let us work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Yes. Do God love me? Yes. Does God love you? Yes. Is Jesus love? Yes. Like the Bible say, is the Lord full of mercy and compassion? Yes. I believe that. I know he's been merciful and compassionate. Plenty in mercy, plenty in compassion. But that ought not give me a license. What the Beastie Boys just say, a license to ill? That ought not give me a license to ill, man. That ought to give me a license to say, oh, Lord, let me tremble at your mercy. One of my favorite songs is a song by Stephen Curtis Chapman. And this song came out like in 99, so exactly 20 years ago, because we're now in 2019. And it's called Speechless. And I love the lyrics of that song where he said, you know, we're speechless. We're astounded and amazed. We are silenced at your wondrous grace. You have saved us. You have raised us from the grave. See, what happened to that type of thing? That's what it means to enter into a place of worship. We should be astounded and silenced and amazed. We should be speechless, not sitting up playing Jeopardy, the Jeopardy jingle, not twerking, not doing Snoop and his boy song, I'm living my best life, I ain't going back and forth with you sinners, not having, what is this? Def Jam comedy at your church? You know, that's crazy. Or Second City comedy. You guys are having Second City comedies at your churches. And it's going to have to start with the body of believers. When this stuff starts becoming unacceptable to the believers, to the body, then these pastors will get a revelation. Because let's just call a spade, a lot of these pastors, man, they're just about trying to warm them seats up week to week, night to night. And I'm not talking about all of them, but I'm talking about especially the ones with the mega churches. Because whether you guys know it or not, man, those guys have a heavy and hefty overhead. And they got a lot of bills. So they figure, hey, man, what we'll do is we'll do this to attract the world. But y'all not attracting the world. Y'all attracting other believers who want to have a little touch and a little taste of the world, but then also want to say, I'm a little holy too. But if we really want to reach the world, then that's where we should go back and being different and distinctive. And don't worry about taking on the mantle or the ostracization of being different. That's what they're waiting. Yes, do they begrudge it? They'll be like, oh my God, I can't stand these Christian people. They don't want to back anything. But then do you guys know they have the begrudging respect? Do you guys know that people who were secular and in the world back in the day, they had a begrudging respect for the church, for the Christian church? Because they said, man, you know what? Even though we think them people crazy, even though we think them people is old time, they're not on the right side of history. Even though we feel these people are whack. But guess what? We got a begrudging respect for them. Because at least they're holding to their values. And they're holding to it for real. And they're not trying to dip a little toe in here and dip another little toe in our stuff. So, Christian church, what's going on, man? Now is not the time to be doing this foolishness. Now is the time to come back. Come back to our first love and do our first fruit we got to come back, man. We got to come back. And am I saying that, oh, hey, well, you know, yeah. See, because a lot of you guys feel like, well, we just can't live life. Yeah, you can live life. Jesus, I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Jesus himself went and sat among sinners. Jesus himself broke bread. Am I telling you guys, oh, well, hey, never have a Budweiser? I'm not telling you that. Am I telling you, hey, don't ever listen to Snoop? Don't ever listen to him. I'm not telling you that. Am I telling you, no, go see Bird Box. Never watch a Hollywood movie. I'm not telling you guys that. But what I am telling you, know when to cut it off. Know the difference between that which is holy and that which is unholy. And don't try to mix that unholy thing into the place where there ought to be holy of holies. You can't bring that stuff. And I guarantee you, if you guys would talk with Snoop, Snoop himself probably would shake his head, be like, man, that's kind of messed up. That's kind of messed up. They shouldn't be having my song, flipping my song like that up in these churches, man. I guarantee you should be like, man, for Rizzle, my nizzle, for Shizzle, man, play, going up beyond them. Going up the yonder to be with my Lord. I can't sing, but I bet you Snoop would tell you to sing something like that. If anybody asks you, do 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 do, where I'm going. See, they would want you to, he would want you to sing songs like that. Or, how great thou art, how great thou art. See, the people in the world got better sense than the people in the church. They'd be like, man, yo, why y'all bringing our stuff? Why y'all bringing like a prayer up into my, I guarantee you, man, why y'all bringing like a prayer up into y'all church? Don't bring my stuff up in there. Bring y'all stuff. And then I'll come to your church and I'll respect you more. Because you're singing your stuff. You're singing, oh, happy day. Oh, happy when Jesus washed my sins away. See, that's why the Bible says the world is waiting on the earth with earnest expectation. So, man, that's all I got for you guys today, January 3rd. Thank you so much for listening to Bold Talk Radio. Listen, get over to Facebook, like us, share us. If you guys got a comment, question, even if you guys want to give us some bad feedback, I don't care about that. That's fine. We want to hear from you. Get over there. If you have an idea for a show, upcoming show, more than happy to take your suggestions. If you have a product, if you have a business, if you have an event that you'd like us to plug, be more than happy to do that for you as well. So we thank you so much. And Again, thank you for tuning in to Bold Talk Radio. It is true. I am your host, Pat Williams. And until next time, I'll see you.